It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Really, really mild out there today. It's not the prettiest day we've seen. We had a glorious sunshine earlier in the week, but it's the warmest. In fact, this would be the warmest since certainly last September, maybe August. It's nice little taste of spring. Yeah. We welcome guests from Butler County Community College with us on the It's Your Turn program today. The president of the school is here, Dr. Nick Neupower. Dr. Neupower, good to see you again.
Hi, David.
Also with us is the director of communications and marketing, and that's Jess Matnock. Jess, good to see you as well.
You too.
Hate to bring you inside on a beautiful day, like this. Hey, there's big news today. In fact, we just got the story mid-morning today. Butler County Community College, again named the number one community college in the state. And how many years in a row is this?
It's just three. Three consecutive rankings, number one.
Wow. Wow. Ranked by schools.com.
Yes.
You won't have to change your Facebook page. Still number one. Yeah.
Well, we're going from back to back to three-peat is actually trademarked, so we're coming up with some...
Let me think of something. One for the thumb. How about that?
Yeah. That's dating us a bit. BC three-peat was a recommendation.
That's good.
That we had. We're delighted. We received word maybe a week and a half or so ago, and it came from one of the big wigs at schools.com. And it was interesting that the list moved around a bit from year to year. And even though there was some movement from in spots 2 through 10, number one remained the same. And we're incredibly proud. I'm incredibly proud working for such great individuals, faculty, staff, our students. The analysis focuses on maybe 10 to 12 variables, cost, tuition. Those could be two different things, overall cost, tuition, retention, graduation rates, the diversity of our program offerings, including distance ed, evenings. Believe it or not, daycare. Do we have daycare available for our faculty and staff?
Answer is yes.
Yes, yeah.
Student-to-faculty ratio.
Yeah, student-to-faculty ratio is a big one. So the fact that we sell that we're about 17 or 18 to 1 is very important. And I think that it represents a, cliche as this may sound, a total team effort. There's not one area of the college that is any stronger than the other. We're all we're running on all cylinders. I think that's the benefit of longevity in leadership at the executive cabinet level, as well as our deans, our directors, and certainly from the trustees and the foundation board. We're accomplishing great things, and we're just so excited to share this news.
Well, I certainly didn't want to give anybody the wrong impression. I was not treating this in a jovial manner by any means, saying that it's three in a row and so on and so forth. This is a tremendous honor, and it has to be a boon for recruitment of students, I think, when they see this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, last night we had an accepted students night. That was our first event of that type. And we had our number one backdrop. We rolled out the blue carpet. That was our theme for the evening. Mm. We had the number one backdrop behind the blue carpet. And just watching students who have applied who aren't even enrolled yet, but they're just still within that application process, holding up the number one foam fingers, standing in front of the backdrop, getting their photos taken, already invoking a sense of pride for the institution.
Mm-hmm. You said this was an accepted students night. Is this something brand new?
Yeah. It is. It's brand new. It was our first time that we did it last night, and it is a little different than our open house events, which are also coming up. Open house is really focused on driving up applications, whereas accepted students night is for students who've already applied to help them to get to the next step in enrollment. So it's a yield type of event. It was really interesting. I learned a lot. I was a team leader. What we did at the event was we broke up the applicants by division and then broke up the applicants then again by different into different groups. And they basically circled around the classrooms of in each of our academic divisions and got kind of a sneak peek of what it would be like to be sitting as a BC3 student in those courses. They were focused on some of our unique programs like metrology, interesting hands-on demonstrations by programs like Parks and Rec. They got to see our labs and facilities and meet some of our faculty one-on-one. And then after we wrapped it up, then we talked to them about their next step and becoming a BC3 student starting in the fall.
And when you say you broke it up by divisions, is that kind of akin to major areas of study? Is that what you mean by that?
Right. So we have the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health, our business division, our STEM division, and then humanities and social sciences. Mm-hmm. And one key audience for this event were general studies students because they've applied to BC3. They've indicated that they're not exactly sure what field they'd like to go mm-hmm. into. So we asked them, what are you interested in? What division would you like to see more from? If they're general studies students, they're thinking they really might want to look into science. We put them in the STEM showcase. So they got to see metrology, electronics, and manufacturing labs and talk about the different topics that they might be exploring if they were to want to pursue a career in their academic pursuits to move on to that career. Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting event.
By the way, don't look down on general studies students.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the percentage is these days. I know when I was in undergraduate school, there was a certain percentage of students who changed majors.
Yeah.
It was pretty common.
Yeah.
And if you're midstream in your educational career, you need time to take a good look at that. So into general studies, take care of some of your basic requirements, whether it's English or liberal arts courses or whatever, and use that time to decide what you want to do.
So I'll add something since we've all been in school, and I think this really correlates to larger, maybe federal views of education. Pell Grants, federal Pell Grants, can only be used toward the matriculation toward a specific degree.
Wow. Huh.
That's obviously new since we've been around.
Yeah.
So that general studies category is good because there is a general studies major. But what we're doing by placing them into an area that they would like to explore, there would be a fine line between how long you could work in a general studies curriculum before transferring to, let's say, a STEM-type degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, personally, I don't like the fact that flexibility has been taken away, but it all goes back to the federal grants, the student loans. So that decision needs to be made more quickly than in the old days. Can't tell you how many times I gave advice, whether at BC3, BC3 is not just for the undecided. When I taught at Marist College, at Bethany College, liberal arts institutions, there were plenty of undecided students there, and I gave them the same advice that we're talking about here. But now you can't, let's say from a four-year model, you can't necessarily test the waters for a year, year and a half. You're probably going to need to whittle down that decision as a second semester freshman, because if you would go into a science or a medical or a math type field, there's not that flexibility.
Yeah, and you need obviously required courses if you're going to proceed
Correct.
To your associate's degree or two-year degree. Well, let's talk a little bit about this incredible scandal that broke this week about some parents, extremely wealthy individuals, many of them are celebrities, actors, actresses, and so on, who have paid enormous sums to get their students admitted to prestigious schools, and in most cases, fraud of some sort, either manufacturing some bogus athletic career, or perhaps even worse, paying someone else to take an SAT test for their student. What an amazing black eye for not only the parents, obviously, but I think many of the institutions, too. They seem to be kind of washing their hands of this because there's some prestigious schools here, Yale, Stanford, Georgetown, USC. There have been a couple of coaches fired, but that's about it so far. I think that might be the tip of the iceberg. I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, what is a constant right now, and I would argue this at any point, is general feel from the general population in terms of higher education. Frankly, an opinion on a macro scale from the citizens of the United States is not very favorable for higher education, whether that ties to the debt bubble, whether that ties toward a lot of job openings, and we've talked about this in the program before, students majoring in the liberal arts and not getting the jobs in the STEM fields, and we could go round and round in that argument. I think that it does continue a black eye for higher education. Even from a parent perspective, I would think that the unethical means in order to get your son or daughter into a respective school, and then what about the matriculation, freshman through senior, to get through that school? Mm-hmm. And then you start wondering, what about the added wrinkles in terms of how a student would survive? And as Jess pointed out, also with the SAT as well.
Yeah. Well, I was in a bit of a spirited debate with someone yesterday when this was headline news, who said, oh, you're just begrudging people because they're rich. I said, not at all. You know, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Said, what bothers me is when very, very rich people think that they can do anything they want without any repercussions. You know, whether it's a football player who does all sorts of crazy shenanigans thinking that he can get away with it, or an actress who pays $500,000 to get her daughter into school. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It really reinforces the class divide.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. Then you throw in all of the other different ethnic variables that come into play. And just when you think as a society that we are making progress along some lines, and then you look at something like this, and then you argue just how much progress are we making.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're safe in saying that nobody is paying $500,000 under the table to get their student into BC3.
Not at all. But we will take a $500,000 donation to our foundation.
Let me ask another question about this, because this, you know, inventing a high school athletic record for your kid is one thing. I mean, I think we're talking about photoshopping their heads on top of other athletes and so on and so forth. It's really hilarious. But this idea of getting someone else to take an SAT test, or bribing proctors who are watching the test going on, this is pretty serious. I was under the impression, Dr. Neupower, that the importance of SAT, or what's the other one?
ACT
tests were kind of being downgraded. In fact, some schools don't even require them anymore, right?
Correct. So there are definitely some schools that do not require them. As a matter of fact, community colleges as a whole do not require. You need a high school degree or a GED. But even some of the well-known liberal arts schools or other state universities have gone away from the ACT or the SAT. Frankly, for the very reason that we're stating, if you are an individual who has received a K through 12 education in a poor city school district that is void of resources, you know, this is a very deep discussion, then the end product, not that there couldn't be a valedictorian or a Rhodes Scholar from that group, but when you start really analyzing an Aliquippa school district as opposed to a North Allegheny or Upper St. Clair school district, again, the end product could be someone who is just as smart coming from Aliquippa. But that person from Aliquippa or Beaver Falls is really behind the eight ball because there aren't those resources at those schools like there would be at USC or NA. So in order to make a level playing field, kind of ironic with the subject that we're talking about, there are some schools that have eliminated that. There are some schools, believe it or not, prestigious liberal arts schools that are utilizing the technology as part of, as a key part of the application process. So in a 15 second video from your cell phone, why is it that you want to attend X university or X college?
Wow. Huh.
Can you believe that? And it's basically in some of those cases have replaced the essay and the SAT scores. Now you're looking at extracurricular, you're looking at recommendations, you're looking at your letter of app. But, you know, with us all being communications folks, 15 seconds, there would have to be an awful lot of thought into a 15 second little clip as to why you should be accepted to this particular liberal arts school. So it has changed a great deal since we all went to school.
Mm-hmm. Still be some pressure putting that together. Although I can remember
can you imagine
going to, you know, the day you took SAT tests.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You know, wringing wet by the time you finished those things. Yeah.
And you remember just how the proctors, there's no talking. It was very regimented. Mm-hmm. And then to hear something like this.
Seats were all far apart.
Yeah.
You know? As if somehow you could, you could cheat anyway or that. I mean, Superman X-ray vision or something. But very regimented, and that contributed to the stress level, I think.
Yeah.
You had to take those, didn't you, Jess?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And it was how you were describing it now, not the 15-second selfie video.
Yeah, that's right.
But really, they say, so like the 15-second commercials ads that are in front of YouTube videos, that those are, you know, that's half of a typical 30 that you might see on TV. And they say that you really only have the first seven of those 15 to get someone's attention before they click the skip ad button that's down there. So really, I mean, I know these, they're asking for these statements on application in 15 seconds, and how important even those first couple words would be to garner the attention of some of the admissions folks.
What a different world. Yeah. Honest to goodness. Even what Jess said about last night's event, which I did hear went incredibly well. And, you know, we're capturing the demographic with the number one foam figures and fingers, and also the backdrop of BC3 being number one. We don't apologize for that. As a matter of fact, perhaps we'll talk a little bit later about Dr. Willoughby and I traveling out to Mohawk Valley Community College in New York to give a detailed discussion to about 100 staff members at Mohawk Valley on generational differences and how generational differences in the workplace, generational differences when we're recruiting students, because there are a lot of non-traditional students in community colleges. And as generations move forward, this is a unique time in history where you could have as many as three or four different generations who grew up in very different ways, valuing different things and communicating to those individuals. It's fascinating, and I think that we've done a very good job with the strategic part of what it is that we do, reaching out to those very different demographics.
Let's take a break. We'll continue our conversation with our guest from Butler County Community College here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. It's as simple as that, and it's just as convenient as that as well. I've utilized their services. It's terrific. You don't have to worry about hunting around for the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or the special tape or any of that sort of stuff. Just take your items to Gone Postal Butler. They'll ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice. They also offer a number of other services, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. They're open Monday through Friday, located just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. They're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex there. Phone them for more info, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
This month at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, vegetable seeds are in and ready for planting. Plus, onion bulbs are coming this month. Stock up on chicken feeders, waterers, heat bulbs, and brooder lamps. Decorate outside with shepherd's hooks, clay pots and saucers, and vintage outdoor weather clocks. Pick up some home supplies like Exo eco-friendly cleaners, Rata cutlery, local honey, goat milk soap, XL dog vitamins, and Tingly rubber boots. Get rid of pests with dormant oil for trees and Rad-X or Mouse-X poison. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Dr. Nick Newpower, the president of Butler County Community College. Also with us here in the studio is Jess Matnock, director of communications and marketing. Let's talk a little bit about this trip that you made with Dr. Case Wallaby. That was recently to Mohawk Valley Community College.
Actually, it's coming up.
Oh, it's coming up?
It's coming up. We are part of a very unique consortium made up of several colleges from across the country. We have Ohio represented, a couple in New York, a couple Pennsylvania, one in Texas, one in Michigan, one in Maryland, different size institutions. And by invite early only, we take deep dive by taking a look at some real-world application frameworks, and then you have the ability to apply it to our space in higher education. So a great example would be customer service with Disney. Food insecurity at the University of Wisconsin. And you take little pieces of those concepts, and I love the application back at the home institution. There are a million different higher ed conferences, community college conferences, college and university conferences. I like the fact that this allows us to analyze real world. Diversity was a topic in San Diego where we visited last summer, and then you take this back and there's the application. Because of that, we forged some great relationships with colleagues from across the country. And Mohawk Valley has a great president, Randy Von Wagner, who's been president a little less than I have, 11 years, and his vice president for student affairs put out a call on a listserv of the several colleges who participate in this Strategic Horizon Networks, asking if anyone had an expertise on generational differences. And while I don't have an expertise, certainly I've spoken a great deal about it from a leadership and communication perspective. Dr. Willoughby has great expertise on the student affairs side of things. So here it is. We're able to pay it forward. Case and I will be driving out to Mohawk Valley, I think, in a couple of weeks or so, and we'll be presenting to about 100 staff members on the generational differences between the generations, but also on the staff and the student side of things. And one point, you know, I'd throw out to the listeners, and this is part of what I talk about, is that generally generations are shaped by a world event or something that occurs in their own backyard that will shape their worldview from now until eternity, so to speak. And so you think of my grandfather, Newpower's, was certainly the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. My wife's father would have been the Vietnam War. There are some individuals where their view on politics forever changed with Watergate. But also looking at it in your own backyard, maybe more of a micro level, my worldview, probably like so many listeners here, was forever changed when the mill shut down. I remember the impact on our home. I remember the impact in the neighborhood, on family, divorce rates, alcohol dependency goes up. And it absolutely shaped not only what goes on in our household, but I've said this at the college, what goes on at that college. Mm-hmm. And when my father and relatives were laid off, they didn't have anywhere to go, nowhere. And what we've done in a period of governmental cuts, also some enrollment declines, is that what is last on our list, and I've been transparent with it, would be layoffs. And we'll do everything that we can to fight for pay raises. We've never missed a pay raise. That's not without struggles. But there'll be more and more work that will be piled on your desk. And I understand that there is a tipping point. What is too much? Some have argued that we're beyond the tipping point. But I can look in the mirror and basically say that that pledge that I've given, and believe me, there are pressures in doing this. Trust me. You know, some folks have told me on the state level, you know, you're asking for more state money, but you haven't demonstrated the proper crisis. The Clarions and the Edinburghs of the world, they've demonstrated the proper crisis. So in order, in some circles, to get an increase in funds, things are going too well at the college. You haven't laid folks off, as an example. You've given pay raises. Yes, we have. I'm proud of that. It comes with great sacrifice and the fact that we're not filling vacant positions that enables us to do that. My president's cabinet, I believe in my time as president, is three less people, including losing a couple of vice presidents. Bill O'Brien was a longtime legend at the college. His division has been handed off to Dr. Richardson for academic affairs. All of that application, the worldview that shaped my life was when my father, grandfather, and uncles had that layoff, like so many of the listeners had family members who did. We'll be talking about that type of thing at Mohawk Valley Community College. It's wonderful that we could pay it forward, reach out, help some colleagues. And that's what Case and I and Jessica and I also love. The further that you go up the administrative food chain, the less in touch you are with your discipline. This is an opportunity to get back in touch with the discipline of communication, management, and leadership.
Where is Mohawk Valley Community College, by the way? Is that in New York State?
It is in New York State. It is north of the city. It is in the Hudson Valley area. So when I was at Marist College, it's around that area.
Pretty part of the country. When I hear Mohawk Valley, I think of, you know, James Fenimore Cooper.
Yes, yeah.
Natty Bumpo and Chingachgook and I and I and all those guys. Yeah, yeah, that's nice. By the way, there's a new labor contract that's just been approved by the trustees. So another thing, you were talking about your pledge, labor peace at the community college, which is important, very important.
Yeah. It involves a lot of stakeholders, making sure that we take care of our internal stakeholders, but making sure from a trustee perspective, who represents the taxpayers and are appointed by our Board of Commissioners, so it would not only be your local taxes, but also your state taxes, that it is a contract that would hold up externally. And I really believe that we've done that.
A celebration of life for the late Ray Steffler has been finalized. Maybe, Jess, you can give the details on when that's going to take place.
It will be this Sunday. At 1:30, it'll be in Founders Hall on main campus, and it is open.
It's open to the public?
Yes, it is.
We're still struggling with that. Yeah. There is no question. Joe Cubitt, very well known in the area, an attorney, highest ethical standards, BC3 distinguished alum. He was voted to take over as the board chair. He was the vice chair. And that happened at the last meeting. And we're still reeling from this. There will be four or five speakers. Reverend Dahlhoff, Joe will speak. I will speak. Ray's last boss, Senator Hutchison, is honored to speak. And a longtime friend, very well known in this area, Senator Mary Jo White, will speak also. We are honoring the request from the Steffler family. It'll have a nice pace to this, but I'm so appreciative of Mrs. Steffler, the daughters and the family, to allow the college to host this because there are a lot of people who were impacted by Ray. And this will bring a sense of closure to honor Ray in the very proper way.
Well, the late Ray Steffler died a month or so ago, and he's a longtime member of the Board of Trustees, longtime chair of the of the Board of Trustees.
He was 34 years as a member of the board, and then 20 as chair.
Yeah.
Wow. That has to be.
That's quite a run.
If yes. it's not a record, it has to be a record in Pennsylvania community colleges. I can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine that it's not.
Yeah, a lot of colleges, universities have term limits, and we do not. But boy, the commissioners over the years have done a great job of giving us fantastic trustees. We have wonderful trustees. Trustees have come together. And of course, our foundation board has been a great complement, works very collaboratively with our board of trustees.
I want to talk about the unified plan for Butler County economic development. We've kind of talked about this from a philosophical standpoint for a while, but I understand the plan is about to be unveiled in more detail.
Yes. So I've been on this show since 2007, and since about 2008, we've been talking about a unified plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the first charge was led by Stan Kosciuszko of the Chamber with some grant money from Mary Jo White. And then that sat on the shelf for a few years. And then in about 12 or 13, with the help of an anonymous donor, the college stepped forward and worked with a group out of Pittsburgh to help with the planning. And this group of commissioners Geyer, Oshie, and Boozle, took the recommendations from that particular study and went forward with the hiring of Mark Gordon, the chief of economic development in Butler County. We have the right player in the right seat at the CDC. That is Joe Saylor. And it is a way of bringing all of these different groups in Butler County that have their own boards together for a common goal that is moving the county forward in a collaborative, transparent way with economic development. Some might say that the CDC of Butler works on economic development, and it certainly does. But this is a great complement to the Community Development Corporation of Butler. And Mr. Gordon is able to carry out the vision of our county commissioners. And then Mr. Gordon is able to work with the different CEOs and organizations and the boards that would all be on the same page to carry out this vision. And the research that had been done previously, and certainly anecdotal, was there were a lot of great things that were happening in Butler, but it was very siloed. We met for about 3 hours this morning with Mr. Gordon and some of the other players, what's going on at that level and those meetings is really showing the collaboration between the groups so that we are all on the same page. And this upcoming CDC meeting, which is the annual meeting, which will be held at the Regional Learning Alliance March 29th, will unveil the official branding and the official name of what right now we're calling the Unified Plan, but there will be an official name and branding of it.
Why is it important that institutions of higher education get involved in this, and are other schools doing this in other parts of the state or the other parts of the country?
Great question. There's an initiative in Altoona in Indiana, but this is not all that common, frankly. And that's one of the things that we are looking to promote. So let's take manufacturing as an example. So if the county would want to bring in manufacturing to help with the jobs, job creation in Butler County, you would work with the Community Development Corporation to see if there is any space that is available. Then it could be financing. It could be financing from a bank. It could be financing from state or federal grants. Then how is it that you get the qualified workforce? Well, then you go to the college to help with perhaps certification in the non-credit level, mm-hmm. perhaps an associate degree. And if this particular business would need a higher level, the career ladder and the articulation and working with the Slippery Rock University to help with the baccalaureate or the master's degree. Then when Jack Cohen or Stan Kosciuszko with their groups, the tourism group in the chamber, are marketing the county, they are marketing it and working with businesses, again, if the focus would be manufacturing, to show how easy and how seamless it would be for a manufacturing group from out of state or perhaps even out of the country to come in. So there's so much overlap, and it's worked for many years here, But that Jim Collins saying that I often overuse and that came up this morning, to go from good to great, if you have all of these players working together and you get rid of the silos, we believe that we will attract new business. And, of course, the other part of economic development is to retain your business, and we provide the training along those lines.
By working in silos, you mean independently without consultation and interaction with other groups.
In the first half hour of each meeting that Mr. Gordon has with his advisory group, which we're looking to expand, and we'll launch that at the CDC meeting, is going around the table and asking what's going on in Butler County. Just that very model allows for the dialogue to be exchanged. Mm-hmm. And that's not saying by any means that there was an intentional protection of information in the previous model. It's just you have your own board. You don't necessarily know to communicate with all of the players. And by Mark having that information sharing at the beginning of each meeting, we really learn a lot.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more here on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
I'm Dr. Robert Waltrip, a shoulder specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. New technology has revolutionized shoulder replacement surgery and allows precise placement of components to optimize patient outcomes. I was one of the first surgeons in the region to incorporate innovative three-dimensional computer planning software in shoulder replacement surgery. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Recreational marijuana may be legalized someday, but nearly everyone qualifies for a medical cannabis or marijuana card right now. Get your medical marijuana card by visiting cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Most people are living with day-to-day pain. Let marijuana ease the pain. Ask about getting your medical marijuana card. You do qualify. Call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can certify you fast and get you the help you need.
Talking on the It's Your Turn program today. By the way, let me tell you about tomorrow. Just quickly, a program note. You may have heard there's been another airbag recall. It's about highway safety. In fact, we have the Deputy Administrator of the National Highway Transportation Safety Board going to chat with us for a while tomorrow. We also have students from Butler High School in here tomorrow, and some other stuff too. Right now, President Nick Neupower of Butler County Community College is here, along with Jess Matnock, the Director of Communications and Marketing. I believe the last time we chatted, Dr. Neupower, that the governor had just unveiled his budget address. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a wish list. Lawmakers haggle over it. It was disappointing from a community college standpoint because there was no increase in funding for the community colleges. It was just flat, the governor proposing the same level of funding. Do you get to appear before hearings of lawmakers? Do you get to lobby in any way before the final dickering on the budget?
Great question, and you're correct. We were flatlined operational dollars. There were some dollars that were made available, which frankly we're still trying to figure out, that would go to community college students for these high-priority occupations. The Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, I believe, was in for either a $6 or an $8 million increase. But we will have an opportunity a couple, 3 weeks from now to meet with our state senators as well as representatives to let them know why community colleges should you know, get funding, particularly in our operating side. It's a wonderful event. Jen joins me, as does Ruth Purcell from the foundation side of things and external relations. And really what the representatives and senators like best is hearing from our students. And actually, there is no scripting whatsoever on our part with the students. Mm. Now, the students that we bring have proven themselves at the college, so it's not a random pick, but allow them to express to these very important individuals about their experience at BC3, the fact that 75% are leaving debt-free, also the fact that the associate's degree now more than ever is the appropriate terminal degree for a lot of entry-level jobs. It is a busy 2 or 3 days, but it's always well-received, and I'm very happy to say that our local legislators are wonderful to our students. Hmm.
It just seems, on the surface at least to me, a little bit unfair that some of the schools that are in crisis mode actually are getting an increase, and the schools that are doing very well are not.
Yeah.
You know. Well, anyway, we'll see how it shakes down.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Hopefully we'll know by June 30th when the final budget is ready to go. So I did want to check on that to make sure that you had a chance to make your case.
Yes.
You know. And that'll come soon?
First week of April, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's not all that far away.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a couple of our students during those 3 days who are recognized on the All-Pennsylvania Academic Transfer Team, and they will join me at Lobby Day. And these individuals, Jess had some information on these individuals, but kudos to the state system, because these individuals have the option to utilize their community college credits and degrees for a full scholarship at any of the state system universities. And Jess, do you have information on the students who will be joining us?
Yeah, Matthew Rettler, he's of Armstrong County. He has decided to attend Slippery Rock University of Pennsylvania to major in finance. He's currently a BC3 student, and he is the vice president of our Honor Society, which is the Rho Phi chapter of Phi Theta Kappa. So he will be attending SRU. And then Claire Rogers, she's of Saxonburg. She has decided to attend IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, to major in history, pre-law, and then minor in communications media.
Wow.
That's a load.
Yes, it is.
And she's the secretary of our Rho Phi chapter. Hmm. So these students are really active and involved on campus and have performed well academically, and now they've been presented with this opportunity to get their bachelor's and
I guess to be named to the all-state academic transfer team, obviously their grades are probably 4-0s, I would imagine, or close to it.
At least double of what you and I had.
I was not going to ask how many times you made the dean's list. I did it occasionally, but I didn't do it on a regular basis, so I guarantee you that. Well, congratulations to those students. Will they be transferring to Slippery Rock and IUP next year?
Yes.
Fall semester?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were part of the Rho Phi chapter that really addressed food insecurity on our campuses, but specifically starting with our main. There was a story recently that came out in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you ran it here. That I believe it was the president from Carlo went over some data as to Carlo students, liberal arts students, and how many of them in that particular month in the survey they responded, it was a very large number, about 150 or so, didn't exactly know where they were sleeping that particular week.
Wow.
It's amazing. And we have data on our students from on food insecurity, and I want to say Wisconsin Hope Lab that about ballparking this, about 36-37% of our students deal with food insecurity issues on a weekly basis. So what this Rho Phi chapter did, along with another group from the college, is help with food insecurity with the food pantry. And then we have greater plans, master planning with the agriculture background here in Butler County to have a garden and to perhaps work with the farmers group in the county for some of their overages that they might have in food and to bring it to the campus. And that all resulted from this great work from the ROFI chapter at BC3.
So when you're talking about food insecurity, you mean uncertainty about whether or not you have enough food, not like salmonella or something like that.
Correct. There's two components. One is access to food, and then the other, which is a very important subset of questions, the type of food that you have. So, yeah, you get burgers and fries from the local burger joint. That's certainly fine. But then there's another line of questions as to the healthy food options.
You know, that leads me to another question listeners might be interested in. At a residential college, there are dining halls, I think they usually refer to them as. Where do students eat at Butler County Community College? Is there a place available where they can buy a sandwich or something? Or I know many students are in and out during the day, so it wouldn't really bother them one way or another. But
there's a very interesting historical answer to this. So we have a Pioneer Cafe, which is in the bottom of Founders Hall, and recent renovation, I'd say within the last several years. We had some state money that was left over from one of our capital projects. We petitioned for that money to be used toward another project. It's very contemporary looking. I know when I came to BC3 from liberal arts institutions, I hated seeing students going to their cars in between classes. Hated it. I hated seeing cars leave campus for something to eat and then come back. So it's been a conscious part of our master plan to make sure that we have the student hangout space. And whether it was Stan Kosciuszko or Jack Cohen this morning when we met in the Heaton Family Learning Commons, there were students in there from 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. And we've done that for our students. We have the Logan Cafe, which was made possible, a gift from the Logan Trust. We have the Pioneer Cafe. We have our bookstore, so we have that. What's interesting history, and David Usman, who's been at the college for 50-some-odd years, said that in the old days, and the names escape me now, but some people have been around a while would remember this, that the person who took cash at the Pioneer Cafe when students went through the line for their meals was a gentleman who was blind. And somehow or another, David explained this story to me, that there was a way that with the bending of the dollars or whether it be Scouts Honor with our students, I want to say that his name was Lloyd, that that particular gentleman would be able to come up with the proper amount of change for our students who went through there.
Wow.
And that's the beauty of the age of our college. There are still people around who remember the early days and just how we have grown. And obviously the Pioneer Cafe of yesteryear to where it is today, it's a beautiful contemporary service, and students and faculty and staff use the heck out of it.
Hey, I want to talk about the bots competition, but I need to take another break here, so let's do that, because this is fascinating to me, and I don't know, it seems like BC3 is chosen every year for this, so that's kind of a plus in your favor as well. So
yeah.
When I say bots, folks, hey, you got to get with the current lingo. That it's a robot competition, and it just took place actually within the past week or so. Talk about it here in just a couple of moments. Be right back.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Michael's will have a fish fry every Friday during Lent. And be sure to save room for a homemade dessert. Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Are you a people person? Need to switch gears and try a new career? We need a fun-loving individual with an outgoing personality to sell our multimedia advertising products. You'll have the opportunity to develop client relationships and will have unlimited earning potential. The ideal candidate for this entry-level position is a person who cares about people and helping people solve problems. If you have a proven track record in sales or are willing to learn, consider applying for this commission-based position. Qualified candidates must have effective oral and written communication skills, college degree preferred but not required. Please submit a resume to Vicki H. at bcrnetwork.com or to this station at 252 Pillow Street, Butler, PA 16001.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, we want to talk a little bit about the BOTS competition that was held, it was just a week or so ago, wasn't it, Jess?
It was, BC3? March 7th in the Science and Technology Building.
Now, this is preliminary round competition, and these are high school students.
Yes.
Who design their own fighting robots.
Correct.
And then they go at it. Where does this take place?
So 21 different teams participated. And five of those teams were Butler County High School. So there were two teams from Butler High School, two from Moniton, one from Seneca Valley High School. And it is a kind of a battle robotic competition.
Yeah, these are not, it's not R2-D2 folks.
Right.
They're smaller scale, and they you put them in a ring, like, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But do you do this at the Suck Up Theater, or where does it?
Yes, I know that the competition uses several of the spaces in the Science and Technology Building.
This is on TV sometimes. This is a very popular thing now.
There's a show called BattleBots.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives local high school students the opportunity, well, not just from our immediate area, but there were a lot of other high schools from around the region who came to BC3 for these preliminary rounds.
Right. So BattleBots says that, Bots IQ says that these battle competitions are really a disguise for what this really is, which is, learning science, technology, engineering, and math skills, and applying them to create these
robots. Because the kids design and build these things themselves from scratch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they use all concepts from all of those areas, and they put together their design and come up with their tactics for advancing in the competition, and it's really fun to watch, and the students are very energized about what it is that they're learning because of this activity that they're getting a chance to express it through.
And the public is welcome to come and watch, mm-hmm. and they get crowds now. Butler County Community College has been host of this preliminary round for a few years now.
Correct.
And then I think there's one more, whatever you call it, semifinal round, and then the finals are at Cal U down in California, PA.
Mm-hmm.
So the winners advance to further competition,
And we love using our college in that way. We love hosting events. We have a ton of space, pride ourselves in being the community's college, and that is very large end size for the communities that we serve. And frankly, it's a recruiting opportunity for us. These students who are interested in STEM, and we have a STEM division under the wonderful leadership of Dean Kovac, and once they get to see the beauty of our campus, the science and technology building, is that we will absolutely get a few to several students who attend BC3 probably with the dotted line back to this particular event.
Mm-hmm.
And although manufacturing isn't in the science, technology, engineering, math, it's very manufacturing heavy. Like the students work in teams, and they're paired with a manufacturing company to serve kind of as their industry advisor as they kind of navigate the competition. So manufacturing focused as well as STEM. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Great stuff. I wanted to mention that President Neupower will be donning his dancing shoes coming up in a couple of months as part of a fundraiser for the Butler County Symphony
Correct.
Board.
Very important part of my job is outreach with the community. Love doing it. You and I were next to one another at the Men Who Cook event.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful to be with you. You had an opportunity to talk to my wife and youngest daughter. And that obviously benefited St. Vincent de Paul. And the radio station was a key driver in that. Great evening. And on May 11th for the Butler County Symphony, I, along with many other folks from Butler County, will be in this Dancing with the Stars. I spoke with Commissioners Oshie and Boozel, who are also participating. They are well into their practices. I do not start my practices until next week. A little bit nervous about it, but it is all for a very good cause. And probably my biggest concern is not pulling something or hurting my back. And that's not an exaggeration, but that starts next week. The practices on May 11th, it will culminate.
Well, Dancing with the Stars on TV is popular. You know, they have this in other countries.
Yeah?
It's extremely big in Ireland, of all places. And it makes the Irish Times every week, you know. who's on, who's off? It's not Antonio Brown over there.
Yeah, thankfully.
It's other people. Hey, speaking of entertainment, a couple of big events coming up very soon at Suckup Theater. Beatlemania Magic is coming back. Jess, do you know who the Beatles are?
Yes, I know who the Beatles are. Come on now.
I've seen these guys at Suckup Theater in the past because they were here a few years ago.
And so have I. Yes,
they
I saw the same
fabulous.
Show.
They are fabulous. They really are.
They're really great. They recreate the early performances
sound
of the Beatles.
Sound like the Beatles. You don't have to close your eyes. You can leave your eyes open because they dress like the Beatles. They look like the Beatles.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as you pointed out, Paul McCartney look-alike playing the left-handed guitar is just...
Something. Unreal. Yeah. That's March 23rd, which is a week from Saturday.
It is, yes, at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day, night, again at 8 p.m., they're going to have the Tornado Big Band Jazz Band, and that is Butler High School musicians. So it will be a busy weekend at the theater.
Also a great show. Hey, you mentioned earlier in our conversation, and I didn't mean to slide over it, we have open houses coming up very soon. Maybe you could mention those for prospective students, parents of prospective students.
Absolutely. So our first open house is at BC3 at Linden Point. That's March 27th. And then main campus open house is April 3rd. April 11th is the next one. Actually, both BC3 at Lawrence Crossing and BC3 at Cranberries are on April 11th. And BC3 at Cranberry is going to be a little bit different this time around as we are just unveiling that renovation of that space. So that will be part of it, that grand reopening as well. And then we have BC3 at Brockway on April 22nd, and then BC3 at Armstrong is the 1st of May, and that wraps up the spring open houses.
Wonderful. And before you know it, we'll be talking about commencement, huh?
Yeah,
sure.
2 weeks from today is opening day for the Pirates.
Yeah, wow.
Too early, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They open on the road in Cincinnati. Yeah. The home openers, April 1st or 2nd,
yes.
Or something like that.
Well, when we sprung forward with the time change, it's starting to definitely feel like spring.
I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Nice to have you here today. Jess Matnock is the Director of Communications and Marketing, and Dr. Nick Neupower is the President of Butler County Community College. Program note, it's a hockey night in Buffalo, New York, and we'll have Penguin hockey tonight here on WISR as the Pens take on the Sabres. Pens are busy over the next few days. They play tonight. On the road, they play back-to-back games at home on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have all those games, live radio play-by-play here on WISR. Enjoy the warm weather. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30, for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680. The time.